Tapping the Keg Daily is live for Monday. It is April 22nd. We're going to do a very quick podcast on the Milwaukee Bucks game one victory over the Indiana Pacers. I am a little bit under the weather, so I do want to talk about the Brewers. I do want to talk about the draft. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll talk also a little more on Bucks Pacers, anything else, but I want to try to get a podcast out to the people, try to do something quick. We'll see if my vocal cords will allow for it. But it's unfortunate. I had to post a review this morning because, yeah, I was just down for the count yesterday, which sucked. Was not great. Anyways, we can be found on social media. Tapping the Keg on Twitter, Tapping the Keg Sports on Instagram, as well as TikTok. We are Tapping the Keg on one of those and Tapping the Keg Sports on the other. Make sure you find us. Make sure you follow us. Make sure you're joining. And if you're new here, we do usually do this podcast 4 days a week. We will have a lot more podcasts this week with the draft, with the Bucks playing on Friday. We're looking, I think, at a five pod week. So we'll see what I can, you know, kind of output, maybe even six, given that today is going to be a very short podcast and that it's not going to be normal. But we'll see how I feel tomorrow. If I'm, you know, again, in kind of in rough shape, I'll rest the cords for game two and we'll just blow it out on game two's podcast. But yeah, just shitty timing, honestly. And hopefully I'm on the up and up sooner rather than later. All right. Let's talk about the Milwaukee Bucks and their big victory over the Indiana Pacers. The Milwaukee Bucks win 109-94. The Milwaukee Bucks, you know, played really well in that first half. That first half was as much of a message sent to Indiana than anything else. I was extremely impressed with just the way that the Bucks came out. The Bucks came focused. They really played in the half court. You know, it's funny, I originally was like wanting the Bucks to push and like push. And then I realized like we don't want to get into a track meet with Indiana. Like we do not want Indiana to be running. We want to slow it all down. So it's like as someone who watched a lot of Marquette in his life and watched the Bucks play pretty fast pace, this is definitely a transition. Like all my Badger bros who are watching this is like Bo Ryan style, right? Like we're slowing it down. We're playing in the half court. We don't want anybody to get started. We do not want anybody to get going. So that's definitely an adjustment. But I felt like the Bucks did a really good job just defensively, offensively, really all facets. I feel like third quarter was a mess. That needs to get fixed. You know, the Bucks are still having this like one bad quarter, but they built such a cushion that it really didn't matter. That at the end of the day, it didn't really matter. That the Milwaukee Bucks had a bad third quarter. That was able to be solved for. And I felt like the refs, too, kind of kept it close, right? And I know you're like, oh, Charlie, here goes Charlie again blaming the refs. But, like, it was 83-64. And Damian Lillard got fouled on a continuation. It should have been a bucket and one. And instead, they said it was on the floor. And then from there, Indiana went on a 9-0 run. And so it's one of those things where all of a sudden everything just sort of flipped. And it was a little tight for a second there, but I don't think it ever got under 10. And I feel like that's when it's like, all right, really lock in here. But the Bucks were able to get some offense going early fourth quarter and just absolutely come out with an aggression. I think you expected Indiana to deliver a counterpunch, and they did, but the Bucks punched right back. And that is exactly what you want. I felt like the ball movement after like the first probably 10 minutes, really once Dame got going, they really were great about, you know, in terms of moving the ball, getting the ball going. And they really, you know, I think when the Bucks pass the ball, they are really good back. They are really tough to beat. And when they don't go ISO, when they don't go clog toilet offense, they are some dogs and they can really play. And so I hope that continues. I hope they learned their lesson from that. I felt like their scheme against Indiana was great. You know, defensively, Indiana was held 8-34 from three. Basically, they just let Pascal Siakam go off and shut down everything else. Nembhard and Haliburton combined had 13 shots in this game. Tyrese Haliburton Only 7 shots overall. Miles Turner and Siakam were basically where they were funneling the offense through, taking the majority of the shots, as well as TJ McConnell a little bit. And so that was kind of their, that's basically how the Bucks let them play. They gave Siakam every mid-range shot that he wanted, and he was taking them because he's good at it, and he had a great night. He had 36 points and 13 rebounds. Like, he was excellent in this basketball game, but at the same time, like, they cut off everything else. Everything else was cut off. Everything else was not, you know, there for Indiana. And I feel like that is just a trademark of a Bucks team that has not been that great defensively all year. And we really saw the Bucks kind of show their teeth. And we haven't seen that a ton here and there. But you can see where, and we talked about this a lot last week, where if they just practice and get time to work with each other, they're a pretty good fucking team. And so, yeah, I really was impressed. I want to go through some grades for the Bucks. Just, we've done this for Marquette. We'll do this for the Bucks. We'll kind of go through all the guys that played and give them a grade from A to F and go from there. Damian Lillard, he gets an A- for me. I know what you're going to say, Charlie. How are you going to give this guy an A-? He didn't have a great second half, and I do want to talk about that, but let's talk about the positive first. First half was incredible. Unlike something I've really, I can't remember a Bucks player being that on fire from the start, from the perimeter position. Like, usually if it's Giannis going off, it's maybe Grayson Allen hitting 4 threes, 5 threes. But rarely have we seen a point guard, and the Bucks point guards have been terrible in the playoffs. And Damian Lillard just absolutely lights it on fire with 35 points. The crowd was going nuts. They were in Dame's corner the 100% of the way. Dame had a, you know, mouth to the crowd, this is why I'm here, stuff like that. Like, it was just an excellent, excellent first half. Second half did not go so well. He did not score. Indiana made some adjustments. It's going to be on the Bucks to figure out, how do we get Damian Lillard free? Because Indiana did a great job. Now, is that sustainable for Indiana? I don't know. It did, you know, make things a little closer in that second half. But is that a sustainable way to play basketball for 4 quarters? I have no idea. So that, to me, is a major question that I have for this team, you know, going forward, right? And are they going to be able to withheld that for Dame Lillard throughout an entire game versus just a half? Be very interesting to see the adjustments that Carlisle makes. I actually don't know how much more you can change in one day. I think you're going to really see those Dame adjustments when they go to Indiana, when you have a couple days off on that Friday. Chris Middleton also gets an A for me. Chris was terrific. His plus minus was plus 25 when he was on the court. 23 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Was just incredible. Was really good in the mid-range. They don't have an answer for Chris Middleton. Aaron Nesmith's a guy that Middleton grew up with. Middleton knows his tendencies, and Middleton takes his ass to school. And in a lot of the matchups that the Bucks played against this Pacers team, they didn't have Chris Middleton, or Chris Middleton was just kind of halfway good, right? So I think having Chris Middleton there is a major lift for this Milwaukee Bucks team, and yet another really solid playoff performance for Chris Middleton, and a guy who's just been time and again an excellent playoff player in the latter part of his career. Bobby Portis gets a B for me. I think just the fact that he was 15 points on 15 shots is not ideal. Bobby is a little bit of a black hole, and we saw it tonight. But still at 15, still at 11. His second quarter was huge, where he scored 8 straight points and really lit up the crowd. And we've seen that for Bobby Portis when the Bucks are really rolling. Bobby Portis is playing well. So I think just that was great. I think defensively, he lacked some, you know, it was kind of lacking. He allowed a few inside. Wasn't exactly his best work, but I still felt like Bobby Portis had himself a nice game. Brook Lopez, another guy that I would give a B to. I felt like he did a great job in terms of funneling things to Siakam and kind of keeping things, you know, yes, he defended a little bit of Siakam, a little bit of Turner, and again, they kept it inside the paint versus outside the paint and forced Indiana, if they wanted to score, they had to go inside. And a lot of that was Brook Lopez's defense. I feel like he did well on Miles Turner. 5-17. You had Middleton on Turner for a little bit. You had Lopez on Turner. Like, they did a great job of sort of giving Indiana a ton of different looks. It was not just one look out there. It was a few looks, and that's really great. And that's kind of exactly what you want. And it wasn't exactly the best offensive performance for Lopez. The poster dunk was incredible, but it was a really solid effort for Brook Lopez. Pat Bev actually gets a B+ for me. I feel like Pat Bev, if you look at the stats here, 8 assists. He led the team in assists, 7 rebounds. He was third to Lopez and Bobby Portis. He was just being Pat Bev, and he played 37 minutes. He didn't seem tired at all. He was working Tyrese Haliburton. Tyrese Haliburton did not do a damn thing against Patrick Beverley, and that would scare me if I was Indiana, that the Bucks have a guy to defend Tyrese Haliburton, and they didn't really have that earlier this year. Tyrese Haliburton was taken by Dame, and we saw how that went. It didn't go well. So the fact they have somebody there says a ton. As for the Bucks bench, Malik Beasley gets a... I'll give B's... do I want to go B or B minus? I mean, he had 9 points, 3 of 7, 4 rebounds, was a plus 11. I guess you got to give Beasley a B there. He had a big couple big threes down the stretch too, so that can't be understated. Pat Connaughton, a B minus. There were some playoff Pat moments. He had 3 steals, so that's great. But he also bricked a layup. That was really bad. So I can't really endorse that sort of thing. Like, I just can't. Same with Jay Crowder, another guy who gets a B minus. He did hit a big three in the fourth quarter, but didn't play a ton. So it's kind of a TBD, kind of an incomplete. And then AJ Green gets an F. 0 for 3 from 3. 6 minutes played. It was not an AJ Green night. I credit Doc for at least getting him out there, getting him sort of in the mode and really sort of, you know, feeling good, you know, at least being out there. And I understand it's an 0 for 3 start, and we'll see, you know, how that goes the rest of the way. But that's a summary of sort of what I saw from the Bucks so far. As for other things that might not make it in the grades, it's really nice to win a game one. The Bucks under Mike Budenholzer played a lot of bad game ones. This was not one of them. Again, the Bucks came out with a fury, and they kind of never, they let up a little bit in that third quarter, but they never, it never really was, okay, we got to get nervous, and it's tight butthole time. So I really love that. I think, you know, Doc so far so good. I know John Hollinger, which was douchebag comment, was like, it's not really a Doc series until he's up 3-1. Fuck right off is what I got to say to that. I thought Doc did just fine. I'm talking like Doc, so I'm kind of paying tribute to Doc Rivers with my voice. But yeah, I felt like it was a solid scheme. I think as we talked about kind of, I wouldn't say endlessly, but as we've mentioned, like it's been really, really solid in terms of what you got from Doc. The crowd was incredible. The Fiserv crowd, another thing that deserved an A. It shows you kind of what happens when the tickets are actually affordable. The Bucks tickets were the cheapest to get in. I think there are a lot of pink hat Bucks fans, a lot of bandwagoners. And look, bandwagoners pay salaries, bandwagoners pay players. Like, I totally understand, like, the bandwagon sports fan. And I've become less of a hater on bandwagon fans than I did when I was younger. That said, we don't need you back. Like, keep these tickets low. Let these fans get in there and scream their asses off, because this crowd was unhinged. That was one of the best crowds that I feel like we've had at the Fiserv Forum since its opening, right? Remember, 2021, you had COVID and you didn't have full house until I think the Atlanta series. But even then, it was still a little bit muted compared to what you had tonight. And that needs to happen more often. And you need to get the Bucks fans even more engaged. And hopefully they bring that same energy on Tuesday. I would imagine ticket prices have gone up a little bit. I would have to think that now the bandwagoners are like, oh, actually, they're okay. Go watch them. But maybe not. It's Tuesday night, 7:30. It's little bit of a late start. So we'll certainly see. But that crowd was incredible. So kudos to that crowd. I really enjoyed watching that, you know, in terms of being there right away and getting sort of engaged really from the jump. Giannis Antetokounmpo, let's talk about him and then maybe ride out. Maybe I'll give you a little other playoff thoughts too. Giannis Antetokounmpo, I think he's not going to play a game two. I don't see a reason why you should. I think that you won one game without him. Why pull him back in this game? I think just try to win another one without him. And try to win another one without him. And if you really don't need Giannis for the series, don't bring him back. Like, just have him ready to go for either the Knicks or the Sixers. I just think that unless, you know, Indiana wins this one, it's 1-1 heading to Indiana, there's no reason to get Giannis out there until Indiana wins the game. Even if the Bucks go up 3-0 and Indiana gets one at home and it's 3-1, I still think you keep Giannis on there unless he's 100% ready. You know, if Giannis is ready, Giannis is ready. I'm not gonna tell Giannis to not play, right? If Giannis is ready, he's gonna be that guy, and we're gonna treat it like Aaron Rodgers or Chris Middleton for that matter, every time he goes down, and worry that, oh my God, like Giannis is hurt. But we're just gonna have to deal with that. We dealt with that in 2021, and we'll deal with it again, you know, here in 2024. But I'm not expecting Giannis for game two. I think it was great that he was at the game. It was great that he was standing. He was celebrating. Like, it wasn't like he was in a box, you know, watching the game. He was active, moving around. Those are good signs. I know that can seem like frivolous or seem like maybe pie in the sky, but that type of stuff makes you think that he's closer than some of the experts might think. I know, you know, Shams was like, oh, 2 to 4 weeks. I don't see that. You know, Giannis is a superhuman. The game against Indiana on Tuesday. It'll be 2 weeks since the injury. So I think they said April 10th. It's April 9th because he got hurt on that Tuesday. So it'll be April 9th. So that'll be two weeks, you know, basically from that game. And I still don't think we'll get him back on Tuesday. I think it'll be Friday. And if they win again on Tuesday, I think we have a real conversation about, do you just keep waiting? Mitch mentioned, and he'll probably mention it if we do a podcast this week, the times are tight, that we did this a little bit with Miami and we fucked around and lost some games. But I would remind my buddy Mitch that this is Miami. This is the Indiana Pacers. And Indiana's playoff inexperience showed through. It's crazy how playoff inexperience matters. It just does, right? I know OKC got themselves a win, but it was a rock fight. I didn't watch the game. I went right to bed after the Bucks game. But from what I can infer, 94-92 is like a 90s score. And that just shows you, again, a little bit of tightness, you know, from a young team. The Magic got steamrolled. They're a team that has no playoff experience. Indiana gets steamrolled. Really, the only guy who stepped up was Siakam. And guess what? Siakam has the most playoff experience out of anybody. I thought it was really interesting. My sister-in-law's boyfriend, who knows ball, good dude, made the comparison on Friday to me, saying that the Pacers are kind of like the Sacramento Kings of last year. That they're this fun, exciting, young team, but they have they've never been here before. And so everyone wants to get on the bandwagon. Everyone wants to talk themselves into the Kings. Yet they are, you know, they're just not built for this yet. Now, they took Golden State to 7, but I'd argue that they took Golden State to 7, but they had the home court. Indiana doesn't have the home court. It will be a do or die for Indiana. We'll see how they get Haliburton free. You know, obviously, him shooting the ball only 7 times is not going to get it done for them. That will probably be a huge focus, as well as, you know, what they did against Dame in the second half. Can they do it again? We'll certainly have to see. And we'll talk to you maybe tomorrow. We'll see how I feel. I do want to say before we sign off here, excellent weekend for the Milwaukee Brewers. It was just incredible to see the Brewers, you know, take care of business against a Cardinals team that's just sort of average. And, you know, all the Cardinal Devil magic, all the voodoo, all the things that we have worried about as fans just kind of went away. The Brewers win three straight. They've now won four straight overall. First division matchup of the year, they go 3-0 against the Cardinals. Colin Ray, again, just an absolute, like, savage in a way, in the best way possible. Because, like, he is, like, he pitches the contact. He doesn't get strikeouts. He doesn't get, like, he just basically, you know, gets out of innings and, like, he doesn't allow runs. It's incredible. I don't really know how he's able to do it. And Sonny Gray was terrific, but there was no Cardinal offense to give Sonny Gray the victory. And Owen Miller gets the big knock. And I'm not a huge Owen Miller guy, but he came up big in that moment. And we saw last year, Owen Miller had some clutch hits. And if he can just continue that, I'm all for it. And, you know, Blake Perkins continues to be a dude. That's a huge development for the Brewers, given the injury to Christian Yelich. Like, that just basically, similar to what we just talked about with Giannis, like, that gives you sort of time to just be like, all right, take your time. No worries. Like, we'll be fine. You know, he's hitting 354. He, you know, had the run scored from the Owen Miller single in that game. I mean, it's just phenomenal. And then 12, you know, they get down early in the game against the Cardinals, and then they basically just score eight unanswered, which was, I mean, talk about dominance. They really picked up DL Hall, who goes on the DL. That's a Jeff Suppan DL, if I've ever seen one. They're like, oh, he tweaked his knee. I'm like, yeah, sure. Of course he did. But great offense there. And then the 2-1 grinder on Friday as well, with another huge start from Freddie Peralta. So, I mean, all this stuff is just exactly what you wanted. 14-6. Nobody saw it coming. For the Brewers. I mean, I thought the Brewers could get off to a good start. I didn't see this. They have the best record in baseball. It's them, the Braves, and the Guardians. The Guardians are 16-6. Braves and Brewers are 14-6. All right, that does it for this short show. Sorry for my voice. I just had to get it out for the people. All right, take care, guys. Have yourself a good day, and we'll see if I'll be back tomorrow. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.